A week saw an Arity Bricky Team listener win for once. We have to acknowledge the Lord Rupert of Wapping's sin encapsulated the issue in one headline. PM, that speaks Supremo Anthony Albing Uzi, PM, quote, won't rush to recognise Palestine. Well, after 77 years, what's a few more years between friends like Zion and the US of the UN of the US of the world? A few more years of occupation, slaughter, destruction, genocide, starvation. Yes. Well, what's your party policy, Anthony? Well, clearly to recognize a Palestinian state. Then why was Fatima Payman expelled? She voted for a Palestinian state. For party policy. For not to be rushed party policy. But Anthony did the unthinkable after Zion Supremo Benjamin Not Another Yahoo and his true blue Aussie henchmen, interesting all Benjamin's puppeteers and henchmen are men, claimed no one is starving in Gaza, in the non-land, non-peoples, non-land. His true blue Aussie henchmen explaining the images that have finally stirred some action from the collaborators, not a lot, but some, are fake news spread by evil terrorist Hamas, finding time to flood the world with fake photographic news between stealing the non-land, non-people's food. Benjamin's denial was beyond comprehension. Anthony summoned his bottomless courage. What courage? What a spine. What a backbone. Just when we thought his silence for the past 21 months was beyond comprehension. Along with the minister for going overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect penny in the team. As, like true blue Aussie long-term supporters of the slaughter, destruction and genocide, France, Canada and His Most Gracious Majesty's home country find mass starvation going a bit far, the latter too threaten to recognise a non-land, non-people Palestine state unless Zion doesn't slaughter, destruct and genocide quite as much, but also demanding Hamas not exist and the state, wherever it may be totally demilitarized, with the usual suspect world colonists determining the composition of its government, thus avoiding the non-land, non-people getting it wrong yet again, having shown they can't be trusted with democracy when they elect the wrong people. They also failed to inform us just where this state would be, while, like true blue Aussie, affirming their commitment to a two-state solution, failing to tell us how they would solve two little problems. Zion declaring there will never be a non-land, non-people Palestinian state, and to render it impossible, the possible sites for that non-state are either occupied by Zion trained killers, backed up by billions in trained killer merchandise, or by Zion illegal settlers, deemed legal by Zion and the US of, with carte blanche to slaughter and destroy and genocide just like the trained killers. Oh, and the non-land, non-people must respect Zion's right to colonize their original land. 77 years of occupation, a fait accompli. Now, listener, you must be in a state of shock, aware that the above is blatantly anti-Semitic. Under the most reasonable and liberal definition of anti-Semitism adopted after deep academic research by Anthony Albing Uzi's envoy, especially given the above is sympathetic to the non-land, non-people who just happen to be Semitic. Now, the arts community, including the evil union, is suggesting in a most anti-Semitic way the definition could be a barrier to free artistic expression. Absolute rubbish, of course, because, as defined, they are free to do what they like as long as they don't criticise the slaughter, destruction, genocide and starvation, or imply the non-land, non-people deserve their own land, or worse, are actually people, human. So we've got no idea what they're worried about. On such matters, US of Big Supremo Donald Trample the Poor announced he has stopped six wars, the greatest stop six wars ever, ever, and brickbats to the media which suggested maybe he could have named just which wars he had stopped, when we know two of them off the top of our heads, the non-land, non-people, slaughter, destruction, genocide and starvation, and his close mate, brackets temporary, Vlad the Putin impaling of Ukraine, solved, as he boasted justifiably by the Don on day one. And let's face it, Donald must have stopped lots of wars before they even began. If he said he stopped six wars, he stopped six wars. He certainly hasn't stopped tariff wars. announcing Canada's sellout or threat to sell out his very, very, very close friend Zion makes it difficult to do a deal, which I thought he'd already done. While evil commie lefty wooden work in an iron Brazil has been hit with a 50% tariff for daring charge Donald's very, very, very close friend, Bolsonaro, I was robbed, for attempting to overthrow an election which was clearly rigged, because if it hadn't been rigged, he would have won. Something that Don knows all about. An appropriate time to remind listeners to tune in every 2 minutes to Tariff Update, our new exciting segment on every 3CR program, keeping us as up to date as possible on the ups and downs of Donald's rationality. The way to stop wars, of course, is to hand trillions to the merchants of death. Also handy if you can't stop the war you handed the trillions to stop. Something of which our Minister for Being Offensive and Trained Killing, Richard Malls, the bad guys, he of the giant mind, knows but too well. So too well he handed yet another 800 mil to the US of merchants of last week as yet another instalment on that onomatopoeic symbol of offence, Forcus. Richard, isn't one of Donald's offensive people conducting a review of Forcus? Yes, that's right. And hasn't the offensive person expressed reservations about Forcus? I wouldn't call them reservations. What would you call them? Slight reservations. And if he recommends that Forcus be scrapped, I presume we can get our 800 mil back plus the earlier millions, the earlier instalments. No, of course not. That money is now the property of the US. That would be theft. So we hand billions to their merchants of death and get nothing? I wouldn't say nothing. I'm sure the USO would appreciate our generosity. Then, Richard, wouldn't it have been smarter not to hand over the latest 800 mil until the review was completed? Sorry, I don't follow. Armed with the lessons of that watertight contract, Richard signed another last week when his most gracious Majesty's home country counterpart visited to talk a bit of train killing. This time for nuclear subs, with Richard and True Blue Aussie striking a hard bargain. Like, if there are defects or faults with the subs, they flog us. We have no right to sue or seek compensation for the billions we've handed over. And Britain can veto any True Blue Aussie suggestions for design details that might benefit True Blue Aussie. Oh, and they can tear it up whenever they want to, presumably after we've handed over the billions. Richard, when we sign these contracts, do you notice little reactions, little hints like they rub their hands together in glee and can't control their laughter? Sorry, I don't follow again. Not wasting millions, that attempt to put a True Blue Aussie rocket into orbit. It took off, looked good for 14 seconds, then blew to smithereens. And the bloke behind the project, Adam Gilmore, real name, said he was happy. What would he consider a failure? What would make him unhappy? In an understatement, he did proffer, "Of course, I would have liked more flight time." Right. Yeah, 14 seconds isn't exactly out of space. Notice super funds Hester and Host Plus are investors. Workers' money blown to smithereens. Fortunately, many of them may not have lost all that much, as a super industry analysis of tax figures showed 1 in 4 Victorian workers were being dudded by their caring employer. Sorry, not dudded, inadvertently underpaid. About 850,000 workers. Nationally, workers owed $5.7 billion real figure in unpaid super. That's a hell of a lot of inadvertent. Any wonder caring employers will argue at the Socialist Productivity Talk Fest for the caring business class relations system to be simplified, including removing crippling economic impediments like wages and conditions. The Norway Wealth Fund, which ironically attracts much of its wealth from fossils but argues for combating climate change, if there is such a thing, has accused the world's banks of misleading investors about their role in the fossil industry, providing more than 7 trillion real figure to fossils since the 2015 Paris Agreement to reduce pollution just in case there is climate change, showing what a momentous commitment the great banks are making to the transition from fossils. just like Dutch fossil behemoth Shelby Wright, excited by gas, and oil possibilities in the Taru Trop, a 50,000 square kilometre area of Queensland. The caring business class, hayseed and sheepshed state natural resources minister, equally excited. The government is well aware of the prize on offer. It has an incredible potential, not just for gas, but also for oil. He was ecstatic. While Saul Cavendish, real name and industry analyst, told us excitedly it will revitalise True Blue Aussie's oil production and fuel security. Shelby Wright, the minister, the analyst, all displaying their dedicated commitment to the transition. Oh, and the banks, of course. Equally excited must be the residents of the small western True Blue Aussie city coastal town of Lancelin, where erosion has taken more than 25 metres of land in the past year, 10 metres of the shoreline since May, and locals pleading for help from WA government to prevent their town being washed away altogether. 900 people signing a petition seeking assistance, which they'll get, of course, because the Western True Blue Aussie government has already showed its commitment to the transition by having Anthony Albanese jettison legislation to establish a federal environment protection authority and to support the great fossils like Woodside with profits, Santos us the profits, and shove pollutants wrong in their long, long, long transition campaign as long as Mother Earth survives that long. Well, life on survives that long. The state socialists are meeting this weekend with motions to scrap AUKUS and to condemn the slaughter, destruction, genocide and starvation, recognise a non-land, non-people Palestinian state, and finally, to frank the value of the so-called socialist left having the numbers, its spokespeople have already inferred they will heed the pressure of Anthony and Penny and Richard and ensure the government is not embarrassed by reckless calls to do the right thing. The motions, they say, will be watered down, also known as going to water. Good morning.